Huh? If one of us is doing something schizo unhinged, one of us has to be the straight man, or this totally falls
apart. No. Right. Let's feed into each other and like make each other worse, and just create like the worst podcast possible.
We really should not do.
Any of those like Pokemon like shorts? They're really good, honestly.
I've watched the first, like the, I don't know if it was Pokemon Legends. It was something like
Evolutions.
That.
I don't know. That's the thing, is like I can never remember what the fuck they're like called and which name corresponds to.
And there's so many of them now. It's like, how am I supposed to find
And they all
this?
Have like, they all have like bullshit names, like Evolutions or whatever. Like Pokemon. Evolutions.
See, this is why, this is the real reason why you have a My Anime list, so you can
control
Pokemon and find the generations. That's
Jesus fucking Christ! What a terrible. And wait, they're still doing it though, because like there's a one that's like currently airing. It's like on YouTube or something. I remember it had like a really good like Gengar one. Pokemon Origins is another one.
Oh, you mean the origin, or is there one called
Origins? No. It's just called Pokemon Origins.
Okay, so you have Pokemon Origins, not to be confused with Pokemon The Origin.
No, and not to be confused with like the movies, which are called like Pokemon Heroes and Pokemon Forever. Nothing can, like, oh god.
Yeah, but to be fair to those, they're like Pokemon Movie 5, Pokemon Heroes or something.
Yeah. They just dropped that nomenclature in English for God knows what reason. What do you think? We need to watch. We should watch all the Pokemon movies and just do like a Pokemon movie tier list.
I like the Japanese name for Pikachu's Vacation. It just looks like Pika Pika Pazuri Camp or something.
What the fuck? Whoa! What the fuck is going on in the camp? Oh, we're tit fucking Charizard. I thought Charizard was a guy. You're sorely mistaken.
All right, that's the Pokemon tier list we're gonna make. Which Pokemon would be the best to tit fuck, and why is it not your pick?
Okay. Well, here we go. Oh, there's Pokemon Twilight Wings. Poketoon. Is this one still going? No, this one. Okay, no, this one was the one that was still going, but it ended back in.
Yeah, Poketoon was the good one that like aired like 2 years ago or a year ago, whatever.
Well, no, it was like, yeah, it came out over the course of like basically a year, because it started, okay, no, like 6 months, September 2024 through February 2025. And then what else was there? Paldean Winds, I think this was one. Or maybe, I don't know. I did watch Pokemon Concierge. That one, that was cute. That was a good show.
There are a lot of weird spin-off Pokemon anime.
Yeah, there are. Hey, I'm not complaining. Those are all pretty good,
I'm not
honestly.
Complaining. It's just interesting.
I mean, it makes sense just when you consider it, because it's like Pokemon is like the Media Mix franchise. So it's like, yeah, why stick to only one anime when you can do many?
I'm glad they never aired a major like release for Mewtwo Strikes or Mewtwo Returns.
Did they not? What the fuck?
I don't remember. It definitely wasn't on like in theaters. I remember seeing it on TV one time, but like I feel like because they could have aired very quickly.
This was just like a TV special. Hold on.
Yeah, TV special.
Okay.
Because they aired in like December 2000, so like we're talking like around Pokemon Movie 3. They could have had that come on screen, or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I wasn't into it. I would have kind of ruined the movie, I feel like, as a child. I'm like, why did you bring him back for this shit?
You were like one of those kids. You were just like a cynical little asshole. I mean, like, it would be fucking.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I wasn't like cynical consciously in that way. I would just been like, that's it.
That's it.
What? Okay.
Did we rewatch like the first Pokemon movie, the Mewtwo, what's the name of the movie? Yeah, wait, Mewtwo Strikes Back.
Yeah, not to be
that's
confusing.
That just makes it sound like a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't confuse it with Mewtwo Returns.
Okay, sure. It's Mewtwo Strikes Back. And it's like, no, what do you mean Strikes Back? Yeah, that would imply, I guess he was like, you know, a product of trauma and experimentation, but that doesn't count.
I will say one thing that really bugs the shit out of me is like when they start introducing multiple Mewtwos, because like that always bugged me about Digimon, right? Because the Digimon, like you get like attached to like the main core characters or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh no, actually there's a whole village of Biomon. And you're like, what?
Wait, do they? Wait, are there multiple Mewtwos?
There are multiple. There is a Mewtwo because, like, obviously they had to have a Mewtwo show up during the X and Y generation because you have Mega Mewtwo X and Mega Mewtwo Y, and so there is a Mewtwo that shows up. Oh, I thought
that's just a different character.
That's a different There's a different Mewtwo that shows up for and becomes Mega Mewtwo Y and fights that weird like insectoid thing. I don't
know. Oh yeah, Genesect or whatever.
Is that what it's
called? Yeah, no, Genesect was Gen 5. I know what you're talking. Zygarde?
No, it is Genesect.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. No, well, Zygarde is like the Z Pokemon that never got a game. That
everyone expected. Mega Mewtwo Y comes and like fights Genesect in a movie or something.
Okay.
Mewtwo movie. Let's see.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, wait. What's Mewtwo's Pokemon, like cast listing?
Pokemon the movie Genesect and the Legend Awakens.
Let me see. Mewtwo shows up in Pokemon the Rise of Darkrai. I remember in Rise of Darkrai specifically because Darkrai has long legs. Looks like a fucking like gonna do like we're gonna do a chorus line.
You're like. You just see fucking Darkrai as like this floating like wisp thing and like no legs.
And it's like no, and this movie has, like, just like
the legs come out. And you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, yeah, dude, yeah. Hold on, yeah. Take a fucking look at this in case like you don't remember. Like what the fuck? Wait. Darkrai's model had legs since the X and Y games and have never been shown in a main. Wait, what? Excuse me, what? I don't. What?
Well, Darkrai was introduced in Diamond and Pearl, okay? They didn't have dark legs then.
That's true. That is true. Well, I know this movie is a Diamond and Pearl movie, so, I mean,
yeah.
Technically, you know, I guess.
He didn't have legs in the games. That's what I was saying. Like, when they introduced him with the legs, you're like, what? He didn't have legs?
He doesn't have legs? Makes no sense.
He's like a ghost.
Yeah. It's like, well, he should just be, I guess. Because he needs to be, it would make less sense for that shot to have him floating there because he needs to be standing so he can aura farm. But then it's also like, why?
That's movie cursed. Arceus, then actually, cursed. Like,
it really is
the fucking game model. So cursed. Why?
Wait. I thought it was literally. Does Darkrai just have like legs in multiple shots? We need to watch this movie and just be like, why does Darkrai have legs?
Oh yeah, Darkrai has legs.
And shots. Then does
that's
does,
that's the one with
the Shaman Lucario, right? This movie. Which one?
Isn't that the one with Lucario with Darkrai?
No. Lucario appears in. I remember this because this confused me. Lucario appears in like a Gen 3 movie before like Gen 4 was out.
As Pokemon tend to do. I mean, you had like fucking like what? Snubbull? Yeah, it was Meryl,
Pokemon Lodem, Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, right? Which is part of the Ruby and Sapphire line because May is there and the fucking dumbass glasses kid, Max that Brock was 100% like just molesting and grooming off screen.
Max.
Oh yeah. Was that not that was clear to me even as like a little kid. That's how I knew I was getting molested.
I thought it was May.
No. May was grooming Ash. Brock after his many unsuccessful bouts trying to fuck Nurse Joy and Officer Jenny is just like, you know what? Little boys are easier targets. Max will know how to keep a secret. Who's the villain in this movie? Because no, I remember like this movie talks about like the Pokemon War or something.
Pokemon War.
Oh my, wait, hold on. Wait, what the fuck is Ash wearing in this fucking banner?
How many Pokemon Wars are there?
Wait, what is Ash and Pikachu wearing? Wait, what the fuck is Brock wearing?
I've seen parts of this movie.
I've seen the movie when I was like a little kid. I just have not seen it. I remember because like this the Lucario's like owner like shows up as well in Diamond and Pearl and gives you a little Riolu for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite Pokemon movie was the one with Kyogre.
Hmm.
With the pirate guy.
I remember that movie specifically because we see like Kyogre and Groudon get like Sigma forms, like they it basically becomes like Princess Mononoke. Is that the movie you're thinking of, or
no?
Okay,
this is a Manaphy movie.
Oh, okay. No, I'm thinking of Do you remember like when like there's like a Groudon movie and it just becomes Princess Mononoke at the end?
Yeah. I do remember that.
Vaguely. I remember seeing that and then being disappointed that like you couldn't do that with Groudon in the game. I'm like, what the fuck? That was awesome. Not understanding that it's an overt reference to Princess Mononoke.
This is like a Pokemon podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, no. This is a Resonant Crystal podcast. So
what?
Thank you. Yeah. So thank you all for listening to our Pokemon talk. Now let's begin the chant.
What are you doing?
Movie, chant with me. We have to harmonize. Listen, you do a different tone and we'll create like a binaural beat.
That's not how this works.
What do you mean?
Huh? If one of us is doing something schizo unhinged, one of us has to be the straight man or just totally falls apart.
No. Let's feed into each other and like make each other worse and just create like, you know, the worst podcast possible.
We really should not do this.
No, stop interrupting me. You're ruining my chakras. All right.
Oh my God. Are we doing an intro?
This is the podcast. This is what we're doing now. All right. We're gonna start selling healing crystals, and the podcast will literally just be us, you know, doing like Mongolian throat chants for an hour.
I mean, it would be kind of hard if we could do Mongolian throat chanting. I would try, but my frail femboy fuckboy voice would just disintegrate.
I have on occasion been able to do like that low resonant frequency kind of thing that they do, but it's very intermittent. Like
basically when you just first wake up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You gotta be like, yeah, you gotta get sick first. So you sound like death. And yeah,
I gotta get sick and then I gotta first wake up. Okay. And then I might be able to do some Tibetan throat chanting.
Okay, so yeah, we'll record next time we're sick. We'll invite us to do this, all right? Who am I talking to? I'm just talking to the listeners like we're Dora, all right? You guys, be sure to remind us that next time we're recording, this isn't a fucking live thing, for us to do the Mongolian throat bit.
Welcome to the Weeb Crew podcast.
It's an anime podcast, I guess. I mean, we've been talking about, I don't know when I'm going to start this. We've been talking about anime the entire time. We just talk about Pokemon movies, and I guess the Full Metal Alchemist stuff will go into like the Patreon portion.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
No, that's fine. No, because like we've talked about Full Metal, we can do a full Metal Alchemist episode. Get it?
Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, full Metal Alchemist.
Sounds terrible. Crap it.
Cut that. What are we talking about today, Mumi?
I don't know. This is your fucking idea. Why am I here?
I don't. Oh, right.
You dragged me in here. You start talking about fucking Pokemon.
Well, today, so we did this last year. We do this like every year. Well, no. Wait, did we do this the year before? I don't. I forget. Anyway. A month or two ago. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, there's the Anime Industry Report 2024 that is now out. Well, it's been out actually now for a couple months, but we did a stream last year going through the data And I don't want to do a stream this year because I don't know. I haven't felt like streaming, honestly. So instead, we're just going to, well, whoever the fuck is listening to this isn't going to be able to take a look at the data, but I'm just going to describe the data. And Mumi has not done, I've not instructed him to do anything. So everything I tell him here is going to be completely, you're going to get his like actual real reactions to this information.
It's going to rock your world.
Are you excited? Are you excited to get numbers like just said to you, Mumi?
Are you going to stream like a video where I can at least see what you're talking about?
Fine. I guess you do get a little bit of like a privilege, but like, no, because I'm going to ask you like leading questions and you're going to, and like, it's not going to make any sense. All right. You need to ask me questions as well, but like, anyway. All
right, so I think for this episode, we're going to reverse roles.
What do you mean?
You're going to go through the report and try to make an episode about numbers, and I'm going to try to ruin it the whole time.
You are okay. My internet is dying, I think, because I did not understand a word you just fucking said.
Or maybe it's my internet.
No, because I can see like my ping like dying. And like, hold on. What if I turned off my VPN? Say something now. Hello? Oh, wait, no. I think it's going to take like a second to reconnect. Hello, Mumi, are you there? Oh, geez. God damn it. God fucking damn it. Oh, wait. No. Oh, God damn it. Hold on. Let me rejoin the goddamn call.
We're back.
Oh, no. I think my... Okay, so turning off my VPN, this audio is going to be so cooked because he's probably talking right now as well. Mumi, can you hear me? Here. Are you there? Oh, God. My internet is like shitting the bed so hard right now. It was not my VPN.
This is fine. I can barely understand you. You sound like a robot.
I think we're back. No. No, because now my ping is like down to like 10, 15 again. Okay, yeah, so we're good.
It's fine. Yeah,
so that was like probably like a nightmare. I'm not going to edit that at all. It's just going to be us talking over each other as we're not like communicating directly. So let me share my stream again to you. So I guess the first thing I want to kick us off with, Mumi, is so this is the Anime Industry Report 2024, which despite what the name would imply, the data only goes up to 2023 because this report is compiled in 2024 using data up through 2023. And then what we're looking at is not the report itself, but rather an abridged version that has been published into English in 2025. Does that make sense?
So what you're saying is the industry is living 2 years in the past.
At least for us. Yes, it is. So Mumi, 2023, do you think the anime industry did better or worse? Like, did it grow or did it contract a little bit in 2023? What do you think?
I would initially want to say grow, mm-hmm. but I feel like it could have stagnated.
So either like no growth or minimal growth is what you're betting on?
Yeah, that sounds like a good arbitrary thing to put for like 2023.
Okay. Yeah. The anime industry actually grew more than it has ever grown basically in 2023. Okay. Yeah, that's like, so you know, it went from in 2022, hold, let me zoom in a little bit here so I can read this. So in 2022, like the total revenue for the anime industry was $2.928 billion. I don't know what that converts to, especially given what the fuck has happened to the yen in the last few years. But it was like, basically at 3 billion yen.
That's like $170 million. That's a pretty
something like that.
Respectable amount. I just did that conversion in my head. It's probably way off. Don't.
In 2023, though, it went up to 3.347 billion yen, which. I think I was reading here. It's like that's like a 14% increase over the previous year, which is, yeah. The anime industry market once again broke its record high by reaching 114.3% of the previous year at, those were not billion figures. Those were trillion figures. So it went from, to 3.5 trillion yen, 418 billion yen more than the previous year. That growth rate and the amount The amount of increase is the highest ever. That's I remember seeing that because like, and because I would encourage anyone listening to this, the graph, it's it, this is like a freely available, just type in anime industry report into Google and like the first result, it'll be a Japanese site, but you just click the green button and it just downloads the PDF and it's in English and you can just go through and look at this because you can see a very stark, like just sudden boop, like increase from 2022 to 2023.
For those of you that are listening, I don't want to pull up the graph. You know, in like those 90s movies where they're like, we got to increase profits and the numbers go up, up, up. That's what it looks like. It just,
yeah,
just no, a 90s.
It just shoots up because it was like, so 2020, like, you know, we've seen like pretty like significant growth in the anime industry over the past 10 years now, basically from like 2012 to now. And it's been growing pretty well. And then 2020, it declined because of COVID, shot back up 2021, and then kind of like increased, but not by as much in 2022. And then just shot the fuck back up in 2023.
What happened in 2014? Where yeah. merchandising sales just like shrank for, was that 7 years?
Let me see here. Yeah, wait, which one is merchandising? Merchandising is green. So yeah. So between basically 2014 and, gosh, what is that? 2018, there was just a contraction in merchandising, but the anime industry was still growing specifically because of overseas revenue, which has just been just growing significantly year over year since 2012, basically. In 2012, mind you, we are talking about 240 billion yen in overseas revenue. In 2023, just over 10 years later, that figure is now 1.7 trillion yen in overseas revenue.
I remember the early 2010s being able to say, like, the Japanese don't really care about the foreign market. They don't care
now the international market is more than 50% of the industry's revenue.
Yeah,
which is not the first time. This did technically happen as well in 2020, but in 2021 and 2022, the domestic market continued to grow at a rate that was still able to outpace the overseas market. So it then kind of, you know, domestic market in Japan was still over 50% of the overall industry's revenue. I don't know if they're going to be able to come back from this, honestly. I think now the trend going forward into 2024 and beyond is going to be overseas revenue is going to be the majority. Maybe not like an overwhelming majority for a while, at least, but definitely the majority of the industry's revenue is going to be coming from outside of Japan.
So all the people that are like, oh, woke in my anime, bad news. Bad news. Actually, who does it have a breakdown of who is the revenue of these overseas actors?
We don't have a breakdown of revenue. What we do have is basically the number of contracts a country on a country basis based on the anime industry survey questionnaire, which can give us a general idea of what countries are licensing the most anime. Here we can see we have South Korea followed by the United States, and then Taiwan and China, Hong Kong. Those three are separated. Please do not kill us, G. I know you listen to the podcast. You know, I'm just reporting the facts as they are presented to me.
He will assassinate us because. He does not like that they're separated because he would be.
I know. It's like a pet peeve of his, but like if it were up to me, listen. If it were up to me, you know, just put them all, you know, one China kind of thing. But you know, we're
that 48 China yet. And that 44 Hong Kong would eclipse that 84 South Korea. All right.
It kind of depends. I guess it would depend on like, you know, what do those contracts look like and stuff. But. I mean, I would imagine still it's probably like China, then probably South Korea, and then, yeah, United States. And then after that, we have Canada, Thailand, Macau, Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, France, Brunei, Vietnam, Spain, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, Australia, India, United Kingdom, Andorra,
Okay. Denmark, Bangladesh. Wait, didn't I just say? No, that was a different country. In Italy, Sweden, Norway, Turkey. I don't even know what this country is. Timor Leste? Nepal, what? What'd you call Bhutan, me? Papua New Guinea, and then the Netherlands. And then, top 10 animation works in overseas music royalties in the last 3 years. In 2023, Naruto Shippuden background music and Naruto background music, and then Boruto Naruto Next Generation's background music are just number 1, 2, and 3.
And then Hunter Hunter.
Something to think about, though, and this may I don't remember this coming in, like, being discussed a ton in just this, like, summarized report, but something important to note about why we've probably seen in 2023 such substantial growth in the overseas market is 2023 is when the yen basically started, like, really getting weak, which, of course, if you're, like, buying stuff from Japan and the yen is really weak, your dollar is going to go a lot further, so you can just get more yen, yada, 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 which would explain why we're then also seeing just us, you know, such growth in the overseas market.
Line goes up.
The line is going up. But, Mumi, there's a problem with that, because because the anime industry obviously relies very, very heavily on outsourcing to other countries, South Korea, Vietnam, Philippines, yada, yada, yada. A weak yen then also means that those contracts, those contracts involving, just outsourcing production to these countries, means that those budgets that were negotiated years ago before the yen really started getting weak are now comparatively much more expensive as a result.
They say they're not able to take advantage of slave labor from third world countries?
Yes, and that is not necessarily a good thing, at least from a maintain a production schedule standpoint.
This is going to be drastic, and that is something
that is discussed on here. I'm trying to remember where the hell they talk about it.
Also, rising production costs?
Let's see here. Yeah. Let's see. Within the NA, yeah. Here we go, yeah. Some of those reasons include an increase in labor costs and outsourcing fees due to a shortage of creators, the rising payments to overseas subcontractors due to the weak yen, the increase in running costs due to inflation, and the increase in investment and usage fees for maintaining a digital environment. As a result, it seems like the increasing trend will not change over the next few years, that increasing trend being increasing costs to make anime itself. So even though, and it is worth pointing out, by the way, that there's been a rather interesting trend in the anime industry, which is while the industry overall, like the entire anime ecosystem as it stands, has seen extraordinary growth from the overseas market, the anime studios themselves, the companies actually doing the animation work, have not necessarily... They have reaped some of that increase in overseas revenue, but not proportionally. So if you take a look at, these graphs have figures I guess not. I don't know. It's the second graph on the fourth page. It's the one right below the other graph for easy comparison between the two. And you can see that, while, you know, over 50% of the industry's revenue in 2023 is from overseas revenue, it's like a fifth, just eyeballing it, of like the revenue that anime studios themselves are seeing and getting from overseas revenue.
What does that mean?
So it means that the people that are seeing the highest returns from this increase in overseas revenue are not the animation studios themselves. They're like companies that, you know, basically just own the IPs that are being turned into anime, you know, companies like Kadokawa, Shueisha, Kodansha.
Wait a minute, are you saying that my money is not going directly into the pocket of Saki Iwasa when I buy a Tatami Galaxy Blu-ray?
No, it is not, actually. He probably sees like a portion of it, but you know, in royalties, but
this is horseshit.
Not a lot. And that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of the thing. And when it comes to like, you know, support the anime industry, it's kind of hard. Like, obviously, you are like, you know, if you have a Crunchyroll subscription, some portion of that subscription is still going to, you know, the people making the anime in a sense. But kind of like, I don't know, donating to, I don't know, the World Wildlife Foundation. What's the one where the woman is crying while holding coins?
Are they playing that Martina McBride song, Arms of an Angel?
Yeah, in the arms of it, as like they're being like, do not euthanize your pets or something. I don't know.
The cost of one cup of coffee a day.
Yeah, or like help you starving kids in
Studio
Africa.
Trigger.
You can. Well, that's the thing. You can support studios directly through, like, Studio Trigger has a Patreon. Maybe there's some other studios as well. Obviously, there's the Animator Dormitory Project as well, which has a variety of ways that you can support that financially. And you can see here that if we actually look at this graph, when it comes to the anime studios themselves, there has been an overall increase in the revenue that studios are seeing. But in 2023, there was an interesting thing where in 2022, the other revenue figure accounted for 12.9 billion yen. In 2023, that figure accounted for 49.5 billion yen, which is a rather sizable increase. And the reason for that, from what I've gathered, is kind of just, well, what gets counted into which category, basically. So if we can see, where the hell... They say it in here somewhere. I really probably should have, like, highlighted stuff before doing this. Here we go. This time, others showed an unforeseen increase in profits due to the changes in industry genre classifications. So, there you have it. As it stands, though, like, the majority of revenue that, like, studios see is coming from a little bit of merchandising, TV, obviously, even though TV's dying. And if we actually... We actually look at the overall industry, we can see that TV has basically been on the decline since 2018. And for the overall industry, the overall revenue that the industry saw from television, it was 113.7 billion yen in 2018, out of 2.1 trillion yen. And then in 2023, it's down to 97.3 billion out of 3.4 trillion yen, basically. 3.3 trillion.
Are you telling me the TV licensing business model is not working?
It's not really, no. That's kind of the thing. Speaking of television, though, it's not just like, here's how much money the industry is making. We also have interesting facts like how much anime is coming out. When is that? Like, what time slot are those anime coming out? How many total minutes of animation is being produced every year? Now, an interesting trend you may see here, Mumi, is that the number of anime coming out every year is, you know, it really started cranking up around like 2014, 2015, 2016. And it's not really hit that high since then.
I hung around. Well, actually, I'm noticing newly broadcast that year is staying about the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And now if we take a look at this graph over here, Mumi, we have production of minutes of TV animation from 2000 to 2023. And what we can see here is the green is daytime animation and the orange is late night animation. What do you see in this graph, Mumi?
Pumpkin?
Answer seriously, goddammit. This is a serious podcast.
Well, it kind of looks like a wave. Like it goes up and down, up and
well,
down.
Well, something's going up and something's going down. You'll notice.
So, it used to be a lot more daytime anime in the 2000s.
Yes.
Now there's not a lot. There's a lot of late night.
The industry is increasingly shifting towards late night animation. And, you know, this is like a big thing is like, One Piece even has now shifted from
an early morning Sunday slot to, I think it's now that kind of what has basically become a coveted time slot of like 11 p.m. because that's when we also have massively successful shows like Demon Slayer and Oshinoko airing as well. So there's been a little bit of a shift, especially because, you know, we can also just stream stuff. And so we're not necessarily dependent on time slots. Also, people DVR the things anyway. So if they can't catch an episode, they can watch it later.
Why is this the case?
Why is what the case?
Why aren't they advertising anime to children as much anymore?
Well, there's this thing that's been happening in Japan for a while now called declining birth rate. I mean, people are not having as many kids in Japan anymore. So as a result, Japan as a country is overall just becoming older. Like the average age of Japan is increasing. Increasing
every country gets older.
Yeah, this is true. This is increasing all around the world. Just in Japan, it's more pronounced than in some other countries. It's not even necessarily the most, like South Korea, I believe it has it even worse, but we're not a South Korean focused podcast. This is talking about the anime industry in Japan. Anyway, the result of that basically is, you know, the people who are watching anime are also getting older, and older people aren't necessarily waking up at like 9 a.m. on a Sunday to watch their Sunday morning cartoons. They're watching stuff either on like late at night at like 11 p.m. or they're not watching it on TV at all. They're watching it on some streaming service, or they have it DVR'd because they own a home and can just DVR it no problem. So as a result of that,
they're adopting the Western millennial business model where they now make nostalgia toys for 30-year-old men.
Yes, that is what is called Grandizer U. Do you remember that show?
Well, I thought that was for Saudi Arabia.
Well, that's Saudi Arabia, but also for like 30-year-old, like old people that remember Grandizer.
Wait, you don't remember Grandizer?
I guess there are a lot of old people in Saudi Arabia that remember Grandizer because they also have a Grandizer statue.
Never forget.
It could also just be one rich Saudi oil prince that really likes Grandizer and is just financing all of that. It only takes one. The people there are very rich, as it turns out. There's also just been like, because kids these days are also like not watching television all that much. Kids are watching YouTube and TikTok. So we've seen a general shift of like children's programming away from television and more toward like things like Koisuru One Piece that we watched earlier this season, stuff like that. Or so
that was why it was in like vertical mode.
Yes, to appeal to the skibbity toilet brain rot zoomers, I guess Gen Alpha now.
Future of anime, baby.
Yeah, kind of, honestly. Like, you got to take advantage. This is like a whole, like, it only makes sense for anime to move not just onto the internet, but also adapt to things like do people watch anime on their phones, people watch videos on their phones in general in vertical mode. So let's make an anime that's only in vertical mode and see how it does. And by all accounts, I think Koisuru One Piece was fairly successful. You also have stuff like who's that one stop motion animator that does like stuff with like the figures? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, that does the dancing and the
yeah. Like they started doing like some more like officially commissioned work, and obviously like their stuff is incredibly popular, and it's in vertical format. That's animation. Do we call that anime? I guess, I don't know. Is it made in Japan?
Figures are made in Japan.
Are they made in Japan? I noticed in a lot of my figure boxes it says made in China.
We don't talk about that.
We also have data here for box office revenues, which, man, box office revenues are, it fluctuates wildly.
There's
a sudden spike in like 2001, 2016.
What happened then?
There's this movie called Spirited Away. that won like an Oscar or Grammy or something.
There's a little movie called the Digimon movie.
Oh, that also came out in 2001?
The train one.
The train one? What?
Digimon Tamers.
I don't... Animation distribution via the internet is also an interesting statistic provided here. As you can see, there aren't very many. I don't even... Wait, what is this figure even... Oh, it's billion of yen. I thought it was number of anime being distributed via the internet. And I was like, how do you have a fraction of an anime? As we can see,
they got canceled.
Internet distribution has been growing. It was growing a handsome amount from, like, you know, over the course of the 2010s. And then 2020 is like an anomalous year. We can just ignore it. 2021, it shot the fuck up pretty hard. 2022... not so much, kind of tapered off, and then 2023 shattered that fucking glass ceiling. I think I remember actually that last year when we were doing the stream, we were looking at the prior year's, like last year's report, and there were concerns like, you know, the anime industry is, you know, it's seen some pretty nice record growth over the past basically 10 years, but, you know, we may be hitting a limit for that, you know, given that 2022 we did not necessarily see a sizable increase over 2021. So maybe we're at the point now where we're going to start seeing diminishing returns. And this latest report basically just, if anything, indicates that, and all bets are off in that regard. And it's frustrating too, because we're looking at data up until 2023, whereas we already have 2024 and now part of 2025 to really think about. And will this trend continue? Will we see another like 10% plus increase in the anime industry's revenue over the course of 2024 when we look at next year's report?
Nah.
Maybe. I don't know is the thing. It's like, have you told me like to be like, oh yeah, the anime industry will grow 14% in 2023. I'd be like, the fuck it will. But it's like, that's ludicrous industry. That's like insane, honestly. People will kill for that kind of growth. Like, could you imagine like investing in the anime industry? I don't know. Let's just say you could just invest dollars in the anime industry, like it's a stock or something, and getting a 14% return on that over the course of the next year.
Listen, who wouldn't take that day bet? Trading? 14% doesn't sound very good. All right.
No, but like if you're like a normal, if you're 500%. Like a normal sane person, yeah.
Oh, okay. A normal sane person, yeah. 14% a year is pretty good return.
That's pretty good, yeah. And we also have like interesting information, like where are anime studios? And I mean, the answer is Tokyo. The answer has been Tokyo since anime, basically. But there has been a general trend towards moving out of Tokyo, specifically as the industry has shifted away from shifted towards digital, because the reason every anime production studio is in Tokyo, specifically concentrated in just a few specific parts of Tokyo, is because that's where the cable companies are. And back in the day when you were like, go watch the Paranoia Agent episode about making an anime, and the guy's like driving around town with a tape, because that's what you had to do. You had to physically deliver the tape to the anime studio, to the cable company in Tokyo, for it to be broadcast. But now you don't have to do that, because everything is just on a digital file. So now you can have studios like Kyoto Animation, based in Kyoto, that does not have to deal with that, because they can just send the digital file and that's what gets broadcast, which is kind of why you don't really see Kyoto Animation doing like TV productions until the 2000s, when that really becomes something that is possible. And that's basically the report. Do you have any questions, Mumi?
I have a lot of questions.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Well, like questions that are relevant to this.
Oh.
You're like the audience. You're the audience surrogate here. So what, like, ask questions you think people listening are asking right now. No pressure.
Why?
Why? Okay, be more specific than that.
Why am I listening to this?
Well, presumably you're someone that has a general interest in anime and then by extension the anime industry, and there's a considerable overlap between anime fans and people who are autistic and like numbers and financial reports and things like that. So that explains why, you know, if you're listening to this, actually don't get checked out. They might be doing like the RFK Jr. may just want to kill you if you're autistic. So just keep that on the DL for now.
What is the most shocking stat outside of, like, if we talking about like the facets of the industry specifically, not the general growth, what is the most shocking statistic?
Let me see here. Like, in terms of, like, less so, like, just overall revenue. If you were running
a newspaper and you got this report, what would be the headline
that you would run? Anime industry has record growth in 2023. That's the headline. Most shocking aspect of this report by far.
No, that's not going to get any clicks, all right?
What the fuck do you mean that's not going to get? That's, like, insane.
No one cares about 14% growth. They want to know about, like, the waifu pillows, did they have any growth last year?
Oh, you mean like merchandising? I mean, merchandising generally grows. It kind of contracted a little bit in the late 2010s. Like in 2014, it was at like 655 billion yen.
Yeah, no, we talked about this. What did the internet piracy kill the industry?
No.
How many billions of dollars did they lose because of internet pirates?
That's a question for Miles. I don't have access to that. Probably a lot of money, presumably.
Why do they keep letting the pirates download their anime?
I don't think it's a matter of them just like letting it happen. It's more complicated. Like,
they just keep letting them in the studio.
What?
You got like Luffy in there.
Oh, like I thought you were talking about like that part in Otaku no Video where the guy's just like, yeah, I just walk into anime studios and steal production materials. Of course, I wait until like, you know, I make sure that like the, you know, the anime is out then, because if I stole the production materials before the anime was done, I just wouldn't be able to watch the anime and that would suck.
Yeah, I think that's you can't do that anymore since.
No, especially probably not after, you know, someone burned down Kyoto Animation and killed a lot of people. Actually, no, I think they even had locks on their doors even then. Honestly, yeah, you can't really go into places anymore.
They've gotten rid of the third space. This is why
I think it's less so that and more so just, you know, general concerns, and it really just probably, if anything, it may also just be people stealing stuff and they're like, we're not dealing with this anymore. We're putting locks on the doors and you need a badge to enter and leave the building.
But who is more influential right now? Is it China or is it United States or is it South Korea?
It's tough to say because we also have to factor in the fact that, like, I mean, it's funny because this report also does discuss the Chinese animation market. 2023 became the Chinese animation film industry's second highest year. 2023. Can't now we're a couple years away from the 2025 report. Or like the report that will include 2025, which will be 2027. That's going to be really funny to read if they discuss Chinese animation, given that, you know, the obvious, Ninja 2 is like the fifth highest grossing, maybe fourth highest grossing movie of all time now.
Assuming we're alive then.
What?
Yeah, there's that, you know, the apocalypse thing going on where, you know, 2027 is supposed to be the end of the world or whatever.
Oh yeah, we talked about that in the other episode.
Assuming we're alive, we can see that industry report.
It's tough to say because Tonshi Okada has like talked about, like, it is not just a matter of, okay, we have companies like Crunchyroll that are investing in the anime industry. It's everyone kind of wants a piece of the pie, and obviously, you know, United States, largest economy in the world, is going to be investing substantially just by virtue of a ton of spending power. But then also, of course, China, through, you know, having over a billion people and a rapidly growing economy, also has a sizable influence as well. It's tough to say who who has like the most, like who is spending the most. I would be interested in seeing like a per like nation breakdown. I honestly, cause I've been looking at these reports since I was in college, and I've always wondered why they don't do that. Maybe they just don't have access to that information. Maybe it's proprietary. Maybe it's like in like the full report that's in Japanese that I can't read. It's hard to say. I would imagine it's closer than what people expect it to be, though.
Can you go down to the graph a little bit?
Yeah, which one?
Where the breakdown is. So what exactly is the live entertainment?
Oh, live entertainment. Let's see here. Live entertainment, animation-related live performances, events, exhibitions, and cafe revenues. The survey for live entertainment started in 2013. The amount is the sum of the revenues of the following anime, song/voice actor appearances, events, 2.5D musicals, museums, exhibitions, and cafes.
Hmm. Is there any kind of breakdown as to what's earning more money? Mm-hmm. Kids targeted anime or like otaku adult target anime?
That's kind of tough to say because
I mean, just looking at the like that production minutes of TV animation graph and how it's been shifting from daytime to late night, I would assume there is a pretty substantial shift in the market from, you know,
from kids to not having adults. As many
kids.
Sure. Yeah. But then we also have to factor in the fact that like kids love Demon Slayer and Ocean. Like those are insanely popular with like elementary school students even, and those are airing it in like late night time slots despite like, you know, and they and still ludicrously in part because like they're also manga adaptations, but nonetheless they're still incredibly popular anime as well, airing late at night, and there's like little kids watching them basically. So
how do you break
it's kind of hard
down?
To say
like, would you make the separation in the merchandise? There's obviously a very distinct different kind of merchandise for Demon Slayer than there is for like a Precure or Haybot or
like toy, like things that are really toyetic in terms of like, you know, you got like the wand or like the object that the girl fucking uses to transform or whatever the hell.
Got the magic stick.
Yeah. There is also kind of a question of how are we defining the bounds of the anime industry? You know, Pokemon, which we were talking about earlier, is an anime. Certainly what? Part of the anime industry in that regard. Yes, the little known fact, Pokemon is an anime, as it turns out, despite what people say. I don't know who's saying this. But do we then count like video games and like the card game? Like how do we, does that part of the anime industry's revenue? I don't think that gets counted here. Could be wrong. Market size based on estimate revenues in animation related product markets. So it's a question of
what is animation related product market?
Are like, VTubers animation related? I mean, there's certainly a considerable crossover between anime fans and VTuber fans, but
they're like the Genshin Impact anime. Does that make Genshin Impact anime related?
I'm saying with like, I mean, we're watching Umamusume right now. Yeah, I don't know quite how this handles media mixes in that regard. Like even something like manga at it, like is because you're still making money as like, you know, Shonen Jump, you publish Demon Slayer. The anime comes out and you're making money off that anime, but then you're also going to see a boost in sales in the manga as well. So how is that factored in? I don't know if this discusses manga in much depth. It does discuss, it does discuss the new Cool Japan initiative.
I was looking at that.
So, yeah, on June 4th, 2024, as part of their intellectual property promotion plan 2024, the intellectual property strategy headquarters announced their new Cool Japan strategy, in which Content industries such as anime, manga, and video games were positioned as key industries. New Cool Japan strategy set the target figure of raising international content-related business to 20 trillion yen by 2033. Rather brave ambition. Like, we're certainly seeing a lot of growth. 2033 is not that far away, and we're currently at 3.3 trillion yen. So that's a lofty goal. Sorry, the current international content market sale is 4.7 trillion yen. So I don't know why that's different.
Well, so it says there in 10 years until 2033, the industry must grow by about 450 billion yen every year.
What are they going this year? Yeah, which is
about that much this year, isn't it?
Let me see here. So what does it say?
You're talking about like 114.
Yeah. So it must grow. So, okay. International market is 1.7 trillion. So there is a.
Really helpful breakdown to the left of that.
Oh yeah,
TV year over year went up like 3%. Movie year over year was down 15%.
Movies are very volatile. Internet distribution is up.
Video, yeah. Is that just physical?
That's OVAs. We can actually literally see the OVA crash, like here in purple. It was never much, but. It was rough, like in the late 2010s, and it just never recovered.
It didn't go down too much. It was only like 6% year over year in that chart.
Let me see.
Yeah, 6% year over year. Internet distribution went up 50%. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Year over year, mind you. Merchandising went up 4%. Music was down 3%. How do you really quantify music, anime music? Because, like, aren't a lot of them just tied to just regular pop songs?
I don't know how that works, honestly.
Is that just, like, specifically music that was made for anime?
Maybe? I don't...
Overseas,
I guess, hold on, let me scroll down here, because they do define it. Domestic animation related music revenues. Okay, that tells me fucking nothing. International 18% year over year.
Pachinko's up 13% year over year.
Let's fucking go. And then live entertainment up a little bit over 11%.
Yeah. You know, general decent amount of growth, obviously.
But it's also a matter of like sustaining that over the course of 10 years, basically.
Well, was 150% the internet distribution?
Yes.
So, I mean, internet distribution and overseas are pretty interlinked. I can see that.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can see it going up 50% every year over year, but I can see that being a consistent growth.
That is where most of the growth is just going to be, unless
10 to 20%
nuke ourselves into destroying the internet.
10-20% is probably pretty reasonable to imagine it happening year over year pretty consistently. Everything else, I don't have my finger on the pulse of Japanese distribution and broadcasting to know. Pachinko is always going to be, I feel like that's like death and taxes.
I feel like I remember them talking about like what the hell is good, because like Pachinko is always weird in these reports. Because, like, you look at it, and it's just always kind of there.
I know it's Pachinko and the like.
Like Pachinko kind of shrunk, actually, in 2023. But it's still up from in 2022, and then slightly out 2021, down in 2020. Pachinko's weird. Live Entertainment is always very small.
Don't they usually say,
Oh, here we go. Sorry, I was looking at the
recession in, like, gambling and sex markets is a sign of like an upcoming recession.
Yes. Well, that's always the joke, is like whenever there's like an economic downturn, alcohol sales go up. So
I don't guess that would be applied here, because like year percentage wise it went down, but also taking into account the percentage was eaten up by just things skyrocketing
in
revenue. Because like here we clearly see Pachinko is just going up. Like, it's now at 337 billion.
Yeah.
That is the highest it's ever been.
Yeah. And it will likely continue to grow. I mean, Pachinko, it's something we don't really have in the U.S., but it is kind of not everywhere, but much more common.
We have it in the Pokemon games. Is that everyone's first, exposure to Pachinko is in the Pokemon games?
I think
outside of Japan, obviously.
Mm-hmm. No, it's gonna be Plinko.
Plinko, the Plinko Plinketto board.
The thing the Plinketto board is based on.
Mm.
Yeah, which is what the hell is it? What the hell is Plinko from? What's the game? Price is Right. So, just I believe it is just directly ripped off of Pachinko.
I think my dog decided this podcast is over.
Oh, okay.